This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. And yes, I understand that the State of the Union is tomorrow night. Yeah, we'll be covering it as much as humanly possible. He's not going to give the speech while we're on the air for radio. I'll be covering it live for the first TV afterwards. So look, what are you expecting? It's going to be mean and nasty and divisive. This hour on the radio, we're going to get to spending, illegal immigration stuff. We're going to get to a bunch of emails. Men feel pressured to act manly and so many other things. I want to do something really quickly first. There's a headline. I didn't write it. That's why I didn't. You can tell I didn't write it because I don't use these words. Migrant who came into the county illegally kills a Washington state trooper. His name's Christopher Gadd, state trooper in Washington. I want to just give a shout out there. One, respect for that guy, prayers for his family. Two, a lot of state troopers listen to the show. It's one of those cop jobs that people don't think about, frankly, until you see the flashing lights behind you on the interstate. You never think about state trooper, but for so many reasons, it can be such a very dangerous job. Oftentimes, you're far away from help. Oftentimes, look, you're parked on the side of the road and cars are driving 80 miles an hour by you. It doesn't take a bad mistake by someone else to get you killed. Those guys, they pull someone over in the dark and they don't have any idea whether it's me sitting in the front seat, yes sir, no ma'am, with both my hands on the steering wheel, or some guy who just escaped prison and he'll die before he goes back. They don't know what they're walking into. They just don't get a ton of love. People don't discuss them very much. So shout out to all the state troopers out there, the state trooper community, and again, prayers for that young man, that young man's family. Okay. I don't want to beat this point up over and over and over again. And the reason I don't want to beat this up, and I'm about to talk about the debt and the spending bill and stuff like that, the reason why I'm going to try to back off screaming about the debt as much, I'll still do it, but I'm going to try to back off more, because it doesn't do you or me any good. And it should do us some good. Us getting angry about it should do us some good. It should get these people to stop spending us into a disaster, but very clearly they don't care. So I'm just once again going to say, we are now at about $35 trillion in debt. Just about there, $35 trillion. We are adding $1 trillion in debt every 3 months, and the timeline of that accelerates from here. It's not like we had a bad year and we're doing that. For a variety of reasons, that will get faster. It won't be long, and we will be adding $1 trillion a month to the national debt. I know that when I talk like this, it can be hard to understand. It can be hard to believe me is really what I'm saying, because you've been hearing these warnings about spending and debt your whole life, and we've never run into that problem. But we are going to run into that problem. There is nothing that can stop it now, because these people aren't even trying to stop it. That's our fiscal situation. And as we speak, well, here's a headline. Congress debates spending bill with 605 pages of earmarks. 605 pages. Republican and Democrat. the list of things that have been earmarked. $850,000 for a bus stop in South Carolina. That's courtesy of Ralph Norman, some GOP dork down there. $1.8 million to expand an LGBTQ community center. $1 million in New York, courtesy of Chuck Schumer, for a new environmental justice center. Oh, you thought all that was bad? Well, possibly the next GOP leader in the Senate is a man named John Thune. You've heard of him before. He's a South Dakota senator, a world-class brown noser and fundraiser. He's one of the low-T GOP types who screws us every chance he gets, yet he gets to remain there because red state South Dakota doesn't ever bounce him out. He's got $116 million penciled in for himself, his state, so he can buy more elections. That's all this stuff is. Look at all the money I'm bringing back to South Dakota so the GOP primary voter will keep sending me back to the Senate like the idiot he is. We really are in the looting the treasury phase. This is why this drives me mad. It makes my blood pressure rise because there are so many things we talk about, you and I, when we're discussing issues, cultural issues and other things. There are things we can debate, right? And obviously, as you know, I'm definitely not a real oracle. I just happen to get a bunch of predictions right from time to time. But I'm not a real oracle. You're not a real oracle. We can debate how certain things are going to pan out. We can't. With you and me, we can differ totally on, hey, how's abortion going to end in the country? Is the industry itself going to collapse, or is it just going to get firmly ingrained everywhere? You and me, we could go back and forth for hours on that. And those, your position, whatever it is, and my position, whatever it is, they'd all be legitimate arguments to make. We could do that with a variety of things. We could, foreign policy is a great example. What is the correct foreign policy? What is it? Well, I don't know. You don't know. I have things that I like. I have things that I prefer. I have things that I've seen that I believe would work best for my country. So yours may be similar to mine. It may be polar opposite of mine. But you and me, we could sit down and Ukraine's a great example of this. You and me, we could sit down and we could have a great argument over what we should be sending. Should we be heavily involved, not involved at all? And you know what? As long as you and me, as long as we've done some research on it, I bet you could make a great argument for whatever your position is. And it might be the correct one. And me, I could make a great argument for whatever my position is. It might be the correct one. Okay, so there's a bunch of issues we can debate. We don't really know how it's going to turn out if we do this or if we do that. There is no debate on the national debt and the financial disaster that is coming. It is coming. You cannot, under any circumstances, pile up debt to this point to get to the point where you can no longer afford the interest on the debt. That will be the tipping point, because once we can't afford the interest on the debt, what that means is we will tell our creditors, our international and domestic, we will tell our international creditors that we are no longer a safe place to loan money to. That the United States of America, you can't just shell a bunch of money out to them because they might not pay you back and pay you back in a timely manner. The second we began defaulting on international payments for our national debt, you and I will witness in our lifetime, this is in the coming years here, we will witness a slow, steady degradation of our standard of living. We will have a lower standard of living than our parents and their parents before them. We will, because of the debt crisis. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It does not matter. There's no argument you can make. There's no argument I could make. It is math. It is coming. It's all interest rates and all this stuff compounds, and it's coming. And these people don't give a crap. They don't give a crap about you, about me, about the country. They're sitting there 605 pages of earmarks. Not 605 earmarks, 605 pages of them. The math I just laid out, again, I want to stress, is math. And they all know it. From Chuck Schumer to John Thune, they all know the math. They know the crisis that's coming. They know it. And they know it's coming soon. These people are hyper-informed. They have the Congressional Budget Office. They know it. They talk to the Federal Reserve Chairman all the time. They know the crisis is coming. And still, they just sit there in the bottom of the Treasury, which they've already basically emptied. And the few gold coins that are left down at the bottom, they're just grabbing as many as humanly possible and jamming the coins in their pocket before they walk out and leave you and me, and more importantly, our children and their children, leaving them with the bill for the whole thing. I cannot stand it. I can't stand watching this car crash come for us and knowing the people driving aren't even hovering their foot over the brake. It's just, it is what it is, man. All right. Hey, Mike Johnson did something good. At least said something good. Let's give some credit where it's due before we get to emails and other things. Before we do that, let's do this. I realize that it's difficult to sleep sometimes when you're faced with this kind of crisis, financial crisis that's coming. Well, you may be having a difficult time sleeping, but I'm not. And it's not because I don't get stressed about this stuff. It's because I have my pillow. I sleep draped in my pillow stuff. I have my pillow Giza Dream Sheets. I have a my pillow mattress topper. I have a my pillow 2.0 pillow. I have probably five pairs of my pillow slippers around the house, the my slippers. Did you know that, by the way, you know the my slippers are 60% off right now, the originals? 60% off. Indoor, outdoor, they're the greatest things ever. Actual support for house slippers? MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. Giza Dream Sheets on sale. My slippers on sale. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, I don't like that version of that song. He was playing Country Roads by John Denver. You know why? Don't look so befuddled. That's a great word. I'm going to use that word here in a second. You know why I don't like that word, Chris? Or I don't like that version? It sounds like the live version. And he doesn't sing it the way he normally sings it. And I just ran into this. You want to know where this bitterness is coming from? I just ran into this the other night with Hank Williams Jr. I told you I took... Listen, Chris. No, hold on. I told you I took the wife to the Hank Williams Jr. concert here at the Houston Rodeo. It was awesome. And I love Hank Williams Jr., right? So I'm a fan. But it was an awesome concert. And I realize he's 74, and you can do whatever you want, but this is what these people do at concerts all the time. He adjusts the lyrics and adjusts how he normally sings the song because he's bored. Because he's played a million concerts in a million countries, and he's bored with it, and he wants to specially edit it for the crowd. So he's making all these huge adjustments to it. Well, we're out there trying to sing along, Hank. I don't need you to improvise, pal. I need you to bring me the hits. Chris, I don't want any more live music on this show. There's live music needs to be banned from this show, at least live audio stuff. It's not that I don't like concerts. I do. But this is the problem. This is why you never get the live version of whatever song you happen to download on. What is that music place you guys told me about? Spotify. This is why you never get the live version ever. And as soon as you do, it sounds like crap. What, Chris? Okay, Johnny Cash doing one great show from Folsom Prison does not. That's not a. That's the. That's exactly. It's the exception that proves the rule. All right. Sorry, I just had to get that off my chest. Let's talk about something really quickly here. Haiti. In America's immigration, because here's the headline. Catastrophic U.S. worries Haiti crisis could exacerbate migration. Well, what are they saying? Well, Haiti, I've always believed this is the case.
I believe Haiti is cursed. I will always believe Haiti is cursed. I'm not going to go into a bunch of the background on it, and nor am I a Haiti expert by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a French colony for a very, very, very long time. And it had some of the most horrific chattel slavery in the Western world because it was a sugarcane place, and sugar was money forever. It was how you made your money, sugar. So to harvest sugarcane before you got more modern equipment, it was a brutally labor-intensive process. And what happened over the years was they kept bringing in all these slaves, these black slaves from Africa, and it was awful. Like, the conditions were awful, the torture, the murder, the rape, it was awful. And it's went on for so long that there eventually became this huge divisions in society. There were the black slaves, and then there were kind of the mix, because there were all kinds of free black people there too, mulattoes, a lot of this stuff is just, I highly recommend you download a podcast on it or do some reading on it. It's a very fascinating situation. And then you had the white slave owners. Well, eventually, this is one of the only successful slave rebellions in history. There have not been very many of them, but the slaves eventually rose up. And they fought this. It wasn't 15 minutes. It was this long, brutal, protracted, essentially a civil war, a slave rebellion. They're sending in reinforcements. They're burying people alive. It was bad, 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 bad. During that slave rebellion, Haiti would have been like the last place in the world you wanted to be. It was really, really bad. And in the end, France loses, as they always do. Stop. In the end, France loses. Okay, so I guess on a macro level, that's a good thing, right? The slaves had this uprising and they rebelled. Only, I don't know if it was. And I say that because the poor people of Haiti have had to live in hell ever since that day, too. It's not as if they got their freedom from the French and everything was all hunky-dory, sunshine and rainbows. It has been murder, death, disease, and poverty endlessly down there. One dictator after another dictator, one gang after another gang. It is just a violent, horrifically violent, disease-ridden place that can't figure out basic infrastructure. Haiti, I swear, if you believe in such things, I believe the location itself is cursed. I do. I think it is a cursed place. Of course, there's unrest there. But I do have to laugh at the headline that we're worried about the Haiti crisis. You know, one of the most beautiful things about securing your own border is you don't have to sit and stress about another third world dump sending criminals to you. Why? Because you don't allow them in your country. But here in the United States of America, now that the dirty commies have opened up the border on purpose, well, now anytime there's unrest, we can just, I mean, might as well put it on your calendar. We'll have a lot more Haitians here in America. I'm sure that'll work out well for us. Before we move on, we're going to talk a little bit more about illegal immigration and how the right talks about it and things like that. Let's talk about making preparations. We talk all the time. People email me all the time. How do you make preparations? What do you do? What do you do? I do not get fancy. I don't get crazy. And I don't spend a bunch of money. Look, we're not made of money, right? None of us are. I do the basics. Food, water, ammunition, medical supplies. Basics. You know, My Patriot Supply is the place to go for emergency food. They have partnered with the show. They've been partners with the show for a long time. I love these guys. Millions of American families have already used them. It is the trusted place to go. They have 4-week emergency food kits on sale right now for $60 off plus free shipping. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to build a nuclear bunker, but you do need some emergency food to get you by just in case. PrepareWithJesse.com. PrepareWithJesse.com is where you go to get your 4-week emergency food kit, $60 off. Do the basics. PrepareWithJesse.com. All right? All right, some more illegal immigration talk and how we shouldn't talk next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, reminding you you can email the show, and you should. Love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday. Email jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right, so I want to get into something just for a few minutes about illegal immigration, but it's not really specifically about that. It's more about something we've talked about before, about language. Language leads to mindset. Mindset leads to performance. Language leads to mindset. Mindset leads to performance. But what do I mean by that? What's a great way to describe that? Okay, so let's say I'm sitting in the house with one of my sons, just us two at home, and it's dark out back. And my son says he's going to go get the mail. It's dark outside. I mean, he's going to go get the mail. And I go poke my head outside, and standing in the driveway where he would walk to go get the mail is some deranged-looking, axe-wielding lunatic with a couple hatchets in his hands, waving them around and screaming at people. Is it appropriate for me to go back and tell my son, hey, son, I know you're going to get the mail, but I just want to let you know it might get dangerous out there, so just be careful, okay? Is that an appropriate way to talk about that? I didn't lie to him, but is that using the right language to put him in the right mindset? Or am I cheating my son by not properly preparing him for what he would face if I sent him out to get the mail? By using language that is too soft, that is frankly inaccurate, it's so soft, we are failing to prepare the right to do the things necessary to take back the country. We are guaranteeing the American right sits on their hands still, remains complacent, doesn't get involved, doesn't vote in primaries, doesn't become activists. The language we use on the right drives me insane. You want to hear an example? Larry Kudlow is somebody I do not know, and I'll be honest, I have no animosity towards at all. He might be a great guy, might be a demon. I don't know. I don't know him personally. So when I play him, I don't want you to take this as a personal shot at Larry Kudlow because I don't know him well enough to take that personal shot. But I know this kind of language. This is me cheating my son.
And I want to make a point. There are, I mean, we've done the research on this. There are several congressional laws signed by prior presidents going back to Bill Clinton that gives any president the authority to stop people at the border and to deport criminals back to wherever they came from. And the fact that President Biden has been unable to do this, he has been unable to take any actions in the light of what has happened to this beautiful woman and many others also.
Unable? President Biden has been unable? That is what he said, Chris. I didn't make that up, right? Unable? Seriously? This is why such a large portion of the American right is uninformed, uninspired, and sits at home on primary night because our language is dangerously weak. Joe Biden is unable? What? Of course he's able. He got into office and signed over 90 executive orders guaranteeing that the border remains open.
And yet still we use language trying to make it sound like Joe Biden just kind of screwed up here. Hey, I just wish he had the ability to do something, guys. That's how we talk about their guys. How do they talk about our guys? Take it away, James Clyburn.
I have been talking about this now for a long time, that I did not believe that Donald Trump was planning to leave the White House. People criticized me saying I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, I think everybody now sees what I was talking about when I said I consider Trump to be a Mussolini and Putin a Hitler, and I still hold to that. And I think
unable. I'm going to play it again. I can't get over how weak our language is, and I cannot stress enough how important it is for us to get more harsh with our language. And when I say harsh, I just mean more honest. We have got to stop describing communist policies that are intentionally destructive. We have got to stop discussing them as if they're accidents, as if they're whoopsies. I don't know how this one got by Joe Biden. What did he slip and fall? How could he make such a mistake? I just wish he was able.
And I want to make a point. We've done the research on this. There are several congressional laws signed by prior presidents going back to Bill Clinton that gives any president the authority to stop people at the border and to deport criminals back to wherever they came from. And the fact that President Biden has been unable to do this, he has been unable to take any actions in the light of what has happened to this beautiful woman and a many.
Unable. You've got to be kidding. All right, enough of that. I promised you something good out of Speaker Johnson. Probably should have opened with that, but as you know, I lack focus.
But my focus is just stay focused.
So here's Speaker Johnson from today. Is it great? No, it's awful. Spending bill already passed the House. But this is the appropriate way to talk, and maybe we're starting to move these people slowly towards the right position on the issue.
We have advanced, and we also advanced, as you've seen the summary, cuts to some of the agencies that we believe are really overreaching and have been turned in some ways against the American people. We're going to cut 3% from DOJ, 7% from the ATF, 6% from the FBI, and 10% from the EPA, and that's just a start.
Is that everything we want? Of course not. Of course it's not. But listen, it's better than nothing. It's better than what we had yesterday. I know what you're sitting there thinking. ATF, let's start with 100%. Look, I'm with you. I know. I get it. I'm with you. It's a step slowly in the right direction. When is the last time you heard a Republican Speaker of the House talk about cutting funding for the FBI? You've never heard it in your life, and neither have I. At least it was something. All right? We never get that out of leadership. And I'll tell you, Rick Scott, I'm going to have Rick Scott on my TV show tonight on The First TV. I'm having Rick Scott on because, as we discussed a little bit earlier, he's running to be in leadership, and he's the best chance we have at a decent Senate leader, at having a decent Senate leader. Do I need to remind you that John Cornyn, it's not just John Thune, John Cornyn, that useless barnacle from Texas, he's trying to be leader too. He wants to be the next GOP leader, minority or majority, whatever it is. Let's check in. Remember John Cornyn? He's out there trying to tell you who's going to lead you.
I also want to thank the bipartisan group of senators who worked so hard to get this done, especially Senator.
Stop. I guess I should set it up. This that President Poopy Pants is talking about there, this is gun control, the gun control law they passed after Uvalde.
I also want to thank the bipartisan group of senators who worked so hard to get this done, especially Senators Murphy, Sinema, Cornyn, and Tillis. I hope it doesn't get you in trouble mentioning your name.
Yeah, but you did, bud. All right, let's get to some emails before we get to more cultural rot in the corporate world. It looks like the communists are using guns again against their political opponents. Men feeling pressured to act manly, but we're going to do emails before we do that, before we do any of that. One more word about the spending bill. Just another reminder, we're about $34 trillion in debt, and they didn't cut a dime. Not a dime. Do you have preparations? Do you have gold or silver? That's what I'm asking. Do you have precious metals? Are you prepared for a dollar that doesn't look anything like it looks today? And I know it's bad today too. You cannot spend at this level without crisis. You can't. So all people like you and me can do is make preparations. The preparations nation states are making, they're buying precious metals. The preparations finance giants are making, they're buying precious metals. But you don't have to be a nation state and you don't have to be CEO of a finance giant to do this. Oxford Gold Group is for normal people. Call Oxford Gold Group and get some form of precious metals in your hand. Don't care what it is. Gold, silver, doesn't matter to me. But call them. Let them get it in your retirement account as well. Call 833-995-GOLD. All right? 833-995-GOLD. Do not get caught with your pants down, and we're not talking about Hunter. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I can't stop laughing about this. Look, I think we've talked about this very, very briefly, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it tonight. But have you heard about what's going on in Dalton, Illinois? Dalton, Illinois. It's one of the great, most hilarious stories I remember in politics. Now, it's not that great if you live in Dalton, Illinois, but you probably voted for her. So if you live there and voted for her, I don't care. But they have this mayor. Tiffany Haynard is her name. And you know how we talk about politicians, how they want to become politicians so they can have access to the things rich people have without actually accomplishing anything? Essentially, they love getting there and getting access to all of your money. They view your taxpayer money, the money they steal from you, as being theirs to spend on what they want. This woman has taken that to such an extreme level that it's making me laugh. I don't know why. It's just she's so brazen about it. She's making rap videos with taxpayer funds. She's just gone all in. And now, obviously, there was an investigator. There was a resolution to investigate her for what is clear corruption, as in she's put it all Instagram. It's not as if she's doing this behind the scenes, right? Well, she vetoed the resolution.
Tonight, the Dalton mayor vetoed a resolution passed by the board to investigate her spending. Last month, the board passed a resolution that required Haynard to turn in the village's financial records and called for an investigation by the FBI. The mayor took issue with what she called a tax on her.
As you can see, our village, our community, myself, we are under attack. It's a shame that people can come to meetings and just tell one-sided stories and not get the entire side of both.
I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't laugh, but that's somebody's mayor. That woman got elected mayor. Look, it's a shame. Gosh, I can't. Get this some emails. Hi, Jesse. Your wife is not long-suffering to be married to you. Your wife is a blessing from God because he knows she is the only woman to put up with you. Well, that's not very nice. That's not very nice. Again, I want to just reiterate, I think she's a lucky woman. Dear Chip Crusher, I saw Pete get his butt handed to him on the border. I mean, probably enjoyed that on the clip on CNBC. I noticed for several years now, every time a Democrat gets asked or put on the spot with any subject, their only defense is to talk louder over the interviewer and run out the clock on the segment. What say you? Well, we've talked about this before. Let's talk about it again. Remember, and I'll get back to this specific thing here in a moment, but the communist is not like you in many different ways. And one of the ways we find hard to accept is the communist doesn't want to think. We on the right have naively believed something for the longest time because we love freedom and having the freedom of thought and freedom to succeed or fail and freedom of movement. These are things we value on the right. But we have taken those values and we've projected them on to the other side. Many, 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 many people throughout history have not wanted to be free. Slaves. have not wanted to be free many times throughout history. You can't count how many. One of the famous examples I love to use is Pompey Magnus, when he finally gets assassinated by the Egyptians on the beach. He had this slave who was his slave, not some paid employee, his slave for years, wept over the body, couldn't leave him. My master. People, many people, want to be told what to think, what to eat, how to work, where to go, what they can do, what they can't do, because life is simple and easy that way. People, many people you share a country with, want to be slaves. And so when you think of the communist, as I've said before, you need to think about him as if he's a robot. Why does your liberal Aunt Peggy, why does she shout louder than you when you start arguing with her? Why does she call you a Nazi or change the subject or something along those lines? Because she's just a robot. She hasn't thought through any of the issues, any of the stances she's taken. She hasn't thought through a single one of them. And here's where you'll get things wrong. She doesn't want to. You think she just needs to dig into it further. She doesn't want to know more. She wants to go up to the hive mind, plug in her cord, get a software update with the latest talking points about what to say, what to think, what to this, the that. And then she wants to take those talking points out into the world. And what that does is it gives her, look, she has a simple life, an easy life. She doesn't have any depth of knowledge. That's why she will immediately just call you a Nazi or change the subject or something along those lines. But she's never going to get into any conversation with you in depth. Actually, this happened to me the other night. Was it this last weekend or the weekend before? The weekend before, I was over at a neighbor's house. And there were all these couples over there. The kids were over there and everyone was hanging out. And one of the guys, his father-in-law was in from Canada. He actually wasn't an American, but he was one of these dirty commie scumbags from Canada. Canada has those too. So he shows up. And he's famous for being not only a commie scumbag, a loud one. When he walks into a party, of course, you have to hear all about it. Now, I had never met this gentleman before, but the other people at the party, most of them had. And as soon as he walked in, they kind of all immediately loudly started saying, oh, Jesse, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. Now, remember, I don't like to talk politics. I don't need to do that. It's generally not something I dive into, especially recreationally. It's just not something I do. I do it for a living. I enjoy it. But when I'm off, I'm off. But I'm perfectly willing to if you choose, if you want to roll that way, we can roll that way. And he gets himself all pepped up talking to all these people in the party. He gets himself all pepped up and fired up. And he's going to come sit down with me and he's going to square me away on guns and the Second Amendment. And he walks right on over and he plops down and he launches into some anti-gun tirade. I didn't freak out. I didn't get mad. But I was very firm with him, and I completely destroyed him. Why? Because every time he would bring up a point, I would shoot the point down very easily. It's nothing special I did. You could do all this easily. And then he would quickly, as I'm destroying the point he just made, he would very quickly try to change the subject into something different. I'll describe in a little bit more detail what he did, because you probably run into this in your life. How I dealt with it might help you a little bit. I'll describe that in just give me a moment. Before we do that, let's save a life tonight. There is a baby tonight you will never meet, but who needs you. This baby is currently in its mother's womb, and she's decided to kill it. She has decided to have an abortion for whatever reason. And that baby doesn't know it, but its life is in mortal danger. Unless preborn can get to her first and give her a free ultrasound, that baby is going to die. We can help it. We can save it. So you don't know. You might, in a roundabout way, you might cure cancer tonight. You don't know what that life is going to be. That $28 you give to preborn is what buys that ultrasound. It's what saves that life. It's all tax deductible. You can give as much as you want, but $28 buys the ultrasound for that baby. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. We saved so many lives. Well, you and Preborn saved so many lives last year. We're trying to top it this year. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. All right? Sponsored by Preborn. I'll describe this conversation I had with the commie.
next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.